The parable of the talents is told by Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability or her ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had received the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents came forward also, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward and said, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man,
really,
reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you not, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have more, more will be given, and they will have abundance. From those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Ew. May God bless to us this reading from the gospel, especially bless Rich.
Amen.
The parable of the talents. We've all heard it before. It's one, whether it's this one or the version that's in the Gospel of Luke, it's often used for a stewardship sermon, and this is a stewardship sermon without apology. But these parables are often misused by trying to make the case that financially multiplying money is all that the master in the parable is concerned with. The master is intended to be, in the allegory, Jesus returning at the last days after being away, after the ascension, in this allegorical parable. Yet, is making money, is the accumulation of wealth, what the returning Jesus would be thinking about at the end of days? Well, look at this. The master in the story has entrusted to, as it says here, slaves, or in the Greek, doulos, which means slaves or servants, people with no status or power or position. He has entrusted to them the equivalent of 1 to 5 talents, a measure of money. And in those days, 1 talent was 20 years' wages, 20 years of salary. And so he's entrusted anywhere from 20 years to 100 years' salary into the hands of slaves, of servants. And then he leaves the country for a long time. Now, in Jesus' time, anyone hearing this story would note that both the context of the master doing that and the amounts were so extreme, so outrageous, that it never in reality would have happened. And so the story Jesus is telling is trying to make a bigger point. And the point is that God entrusts to us something much more precious than mere wealth to manage, God is entrusting to us the gifts of the kingdom of God to manage. Okay, now does that let us off the hook for Stewardship Sunday? No. It doesn't let us off the hook about giving seriously or faithfully or generously or more, or giving with a deep expectation that our generous response to God's gift multiplies God's generous gift of Christ to us. Not at all, just the opposite. Because Jesus talked about the spiritual connection between generosity and faith of money and discipleship more than almost anything else in his teachings. And always, always in the context of Jesus' chief message, which is the kingdom of God is a gift to us. Problem is, when we treat the kingdom of God message as if it's only something that's mysterious and ethereal and otherworldly, and we treat money as something that's real and tangible and scarce, we tend to separate the two from each other. So let me tell you the truth about God's economy. The kingdom of God is the most tangible reality there ever could be. And the use of our money and the use of our other talents in God's kingdom, more than we might ever imagine, seems to us to be tangible. That's the most spiritual matter that we could ever have. It's much more than an accounting problem. Or as Billy Graham once succinctly put it, the checkbook is a theological document. Yes, yes, I realize the upcoming generations have no clue what a checkbook is. And so that's why someday soon, I hope we're going to have online giving on our website. Amen. But the reality of faith is resources are abundant when Christians focus on ministry first before the pocketbook. Because when we do mission and ministry, the money will flow. I don't know if you've ever heard of Tony Campolo or heard Tony Campolo. He's an absolutely amazing teacher, writer, Christian speaker, professor of sociology at Eastern College, Eastern University. Tony Campolo, he's also this bombastic Italian. And he was once speaking at a woman's conference that was attended by about 300 ladies. And before he spoke, the president of the organization read to them all a letter from a missionary, very moving letter, very powerful. And in it, the missionary expressed a need for $4,000 to take care of an emergency that had come up. And the president of the organization said to all the gathering, "We need to pray that God will provide the resources to meet the need of this missionary. Brother Campolo, would you please pray for us?" And Tony Campolo, who, as I say, is very outspoken, stood up and he said, "No." And she was startled and she said, "I beg your pardon." And he said, "No, I won't pray for that." He said, "I believe God has already provided the resources and that all we need to do is give. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to step up to this table and I'm going to give every bit of cash in my pockets. And if all of you will do the same thing, I think God has already provided the resources." And the president of the organization chuckled a little bit and she said, "Well, thank you. I guess we all get the point. He's trying to teach us that we all need to give sacrificially." And again, he interjected, "No, that's not what I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to teach you that God has already provided for this missionary. All we need to do is give it. Here, I'm going to put down all of my money that I have with me." And he noted parenthetically, he knew he only had $15 in his pocket, so he wasn't too worried about that. So he put his 15 bucks on the table, and then he looked over at the president of the organization. And reluctantly, she opened her purse and took out all of her money, which was about $40, and put it on the table. And one by one, the rest of the ladies filed up and put their money on the table. And when they counted the money they'd collected, it was more than $4,000. And Tony then said, "Now, here's the lesson. God always supplies for our needs, and God supplied for this missionary too. The only problem is we were just keeping it for ourselves. Now, let's pray and thank God for God's provision. You know, we know that truth because what we've witnessed time and again from our own congregation and from many congregations like us, that when a need is known and shared, we do pull together. Virtually any challenge or need can be met with a faithful response. It's kind of like an episode that I heard about where there was a teenage girl who was 17 and entered her livestock, her lamb that she had raised, into the Madison County, Ohio junior livestock sale. And she was hoping that it would get a good price because her family needed it. You see, for months, Katie had been battling cancer. She had endured hospital stays and she had been through chemo a number of times. And before Katie's lamb went on the block, the auctioneer told the audience about her condition and he hoped that his introduction would push the price per pound above the average of $2. And it did, and then some. And the lamb was sold for an astounding $11.50 per pound. And the person who bought it then gave it back and said to the auctioneer, "Okay, sell it again." And that started a chain reaction. And families bought the lamb and then gave it back. And businesses bought the lamb and gave it back. And Katie's mother said, "The first sale was the only one I remember because after that I was crying too hard." They ended up selling that lamb 36 times. And they raised more than $16,000 in the process to help this young girl. Now, I realize fully that not everyone in our world, in our community, and even in our church have the same financial resources available. And so the gifts that we have, the talents, or whatever spiritually empowered offering we are able and called by God to make. And if that talent, if that gift is participation, then the kingdom of God is enriched. And if that gift is prayer, the kingdom of God is enriched. And if that is a gift of skill, if it's a craft of music, a ministry of calling on others and understanding companion in loneliness or grief, if it's cooking a dinner for someone, if it's walking for the hungry, if it's serving on a church committee, all of these are talents that God gives to us. And we are called to share them as we can, as much as we can. Because nothing given away will be lost, we're told. Nothing will be lost. And as John of the Cross, a wonderful contemplative, once wrote, "Ultimately, we will all be judged on love alone." Let me leave you with one more image. This is the story of the $1 bill. A torn and ragged $1 bill discovered that it was about to be retired from circulation. And as it slowly moved along the conveyor belt toward the shredder at the Federal Reserve, it became acquainted and struck up a conversation with a $50 bill that was meeting the same fate. The 50 started reminiscing about its travels. "Life has been good. Why, I've been to Las Vegas. I've been to the finest restaurants in New York City. I've been to political fundraisers. I just returned from a cruise in the Caribbean." "Gee," the $1 bill said, "you're fortunate to be able to visit all those places." And so the 50 said, "Well, where have you been in your lifetime, my little friend?" And the $1 bill said, "Well, I've been to the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Episcopal Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church, Catholic Church, Orthodox Church, the Assembly of God, Brethren, Quaker, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Mennonite, and the Church of Christ." And the $50 bill said, "Well, excuse me, but what's a church?" This is the question we need to answer, friends. What is the church in the 21st century? Is the church in the 21st century a tradition? Is it a memory of when we once had full pews and growing budgets? Or is the church in the 21st century a turnaround that helps us to be the church with eager disciples filling our pews, disciples showing Christ's love in the neighborhood, disciples spreading joy and love in the workplace or the school or the community or throughout God's world? Bill Coffin, the former pastor of Riverside Church, was known for reflecting that in the Holy Land, there are two ancient bodies of water that are both in Scripture. And both of those bodies of water are fed by the Jordan River. But in one of those bodies of water, the fish are playing and the roots find sustenance. In the other, there are no fish, there are no birds, there are no leaves anywhere around. And the difference is not the Jordan River. The difference is that the one is the Sea of Galilee, and every drop of water that flows in also flows out. The other is called the Dead Sea, because nothing empties from it. It keeps all that it has. Some say that stewardship, giving all we can joyfully of our money, our time, our faith, our commitment to the work of Christ, is not a life and death issue. But I say to you, it truly is. It is the life or the death of the church. Or as Professor James McCord, who was president of Princeton Seminary when I was there as a MDiv student, once said, I can't think of any better definition of Christianity than this: give, give, give. So with God's help, let's not bury our talent in fearfulness or timidity. Let's multiply the gifts God has entrusted to us. And let's find God ready to join with us in this amazing economy of faith. Let us pray. We have been met by you, our God, in the holiness of this place. We have been inspired by your word and your gifts and your love and your talents entrusted to us. We've been encouraged by the presence and commitment of everyone around. The Lord, help us do something. Help us do something new. We've given before, we've given to your church, and help us keep giving. But move us to give something new. Maybe it does mean to add a few dollars to our usual pledge. Maybe it means that we add a pledge of time that we haven't included before. And maybe it means making a commitment of giving of ourselves for the first time ever. And maybe it just means to be an earnest prayer for your church, to be the church you call us to be. Lord God, make now the time we do something new with your abundant gifts entrusted to us. Amen.